Welcome back to News Talk 1520, 1590, KVTA. 1590 is your new home for News Talk Radio. I'm Lynn Fairley, and this is the fabulous Lynn Fairley and Friend Show. All right, my next guest, you probably all know, unless you've been living under a very, very large rock, Bill Frank. He's always interviewed. He's so much better at this than I am. The thought leaders in our area. He used to interview here right at KVTA and at KKZZ in four categories: business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. We've got breaking news, and it's getting a little traction here because Bill, actually, I called up Bill the other day and said, please come on my show. And he says, you know what? Might be a good idea. Even though it's your wife's birthday, happy birthday. What's her name?
Linda.
Linda. Happy birthday, Linda. Thank you so very much for allowing Bill to come on and do this segment because it is important news. Local government is the last vestige of trust in democracy in the United States. Local politicians are neighbors and hopefully friends. President Obama's approval rating has skidded 8 points since the election to 47%. The same as President Bush's approval rating at the start of his second term. Congress's approval rating is in the toilet, hovering at an anemic 15%. Supreme Court's approval rating dipped to 46% following the Obamacare ruling. Governor Jerry Brown's approval rating only recently went positive at 57% in February. None of these figures is overwhelmingly positive. My next guest, as you know, Billy the Brain, turns his focus business and government. He zeroed in on local politics and budgeting for the city of Ventura for us. We'll discuss where the missing $7.7 million went from the Ventura's general fund and internal services fund, and what the city is going to do to replenish it if they can. Bill, as you know, former talk radio host right here and right now is on the web. Where can they find you on the web?
They can find me at my spot, which is brainstorminonline.com. That's brainstormin, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com.
Perfect. Bill, briefly describe what was revealed at the March 11th, 2013 City Council meeting in Ventura, please.
Well, this was one of the most interesting and underreported stories. I remember reading it in the newspaper, Lynn, and I looked at it, and I kind of raised an eyebrow, but then I glossed over it because so many other things were going on. However, at that meeting, it was a very courageous step that the City Council, our mayor, took and our interim city manager, Johnny Johnson, took, because they brought to light the fact that we are about $7.7 million short in our contingency funds for the city.
Would now, these be considered emergency funds as well?
With it, contingency funds, emergency funds, yes.
Okay.
That would be one and the same.
So
here we are. What we've been doing over time is, since about 2008, as everybody knows, we've got into a real budgetary crisis with the United States, and city governments and state governments had to follow suit. In our city, we like to have a balanced budget. In fact, I think it's mandated in the city charter. The thing is, though, you had shortfalls in all kinds of revenue and things like that. How do you balance a budget in tough economic times without cutting back services to the citizens? Because the moment you start to cut back on fire or police, or if you dim the lights in certain places in the city, people will start to get upset. So how do you do that? Well, the city council at that time was advised by city staff that the best way to do that would be to take money that we already had in the contingency fund, and we would use that for ongoing operations in our normal day-to-day city activities. So we could fund the police department, so that we could fund the fire department, so that we could keep fire station number 5 open on the east side. We were using essentially money out of that contingency fund. The contingency fund, it was determined a long time ago that it should be about $12 million in contingency.
Okay.
Now, why do we need a contingency fund? Well, all you have to do is think about what happened in La Conchita, or if we had a wildfire, or some sort of an epidemic were to break out. We need that money as a sort of a backup so that we as a city don't have to take money from our day-to-day operations in order to fund a catastrophe like that. So what we've been doing is, certainly I want to stress, it's not illegal, but what we've been doing is we've been borrowing the money from ourselves in order to keep on ongoing operations going.
Well, let's break down, first of all, what that budget is. It seems like there's $2 million unassigned from the general fund.
That's correct. $2 million from the general fund, which is our day-to-day operating budget. And then from what's known as the I forget. It's the other fund. ISF fund is the acronym for it.
Okay.
We have $2 million that come from unfunded workers' compensation liability.
What does that mean?
Well, that means that if workman's compensation plans for people hurting themselves on the job.
Right.
And these are known injuries. So these are people that are not, you know, we're not thinking that you're going to fall and hurt yourself as a worker of the city next week. These are known injuries that are out there have to be paid off. Now, they're never paid off in a lump sum. You're never given a check and say, here, go away. You're given ongoing payments, and those happen month by month over a period of years.
Okay.
And as a result, what we've been doing is we've been taking money that's going to pay for payments 3, 4, or 5 years down the road, and we've been using that for day-to-day operations. So we have been shortchanging ourselves, borrowing money from that fund in order to pay for the day-to-day operations.
Looks like we have $3 million potential liability claim reserve,
similar to the unfunded workers' compensation.
And then $0.7 million information technology, what's that?
That's $700,000 from information technology. Now, this is an interesting story because this is how things started to come together and first started to come to the public's attention. Information technology, computers, and it's geeks writing programs, it's keeping the website going for the city, it's things like that. And the information technology in modern government, just like it is in business, is very, very important. And we have been paying our information technology people to do their work, even though the departments within the city are not contributing to paying those people for the programs that they write. Sounds very complicated. Just say that we are taking money out of the ISF fund in order to pay for programmers on an ongoing basis. How this came to light and what makes this interesting is this, that beginning in January of this year, California State required that every city report its compensation plan to the state. And the way that you do that is through your computers and your computer programs.
Oh, okay.
Well, all the cities in Ventura County, except one, submitted the information as was requested by the government. Guess what one city that was? That was Ventura. Because our computer systems, we weren't funding them properly. We didn't have the information for compensation that the state required by law. And we took a pass. We said our computer systems can't handle it at the time. Well, that was something of interest to me, and it's an interest to many people in the community scratching their heads going, why can't we do this? You know, Fillmore's doing it, Oxnard's doing it, Thousand Oaks is doing it, why can't we? So that was the first, if you will, red flag. That was the canary in the coal mine that something was going wrong. And in fact, that was that $700,000 shortfall that adds up to the other $7 million to make $7.7 million.
So is it true, Mayor Mike Tracy said, quote, based on the way I look on the information received here tonight at the meeting, we have probably been deceiving ourselves and therefore the general public. There is nothing illegal done here. We did not participate in any conspiracy, but I don't think this information was clear to us. Did he actually say that?
That is an actual quote, and I got that quote from the videotaping of the meeting, the council meeting on March the 11th. That is his quote. There might be an and or an that I admitted, but that's pretty much verbatim what Mike said.
Okay, so how could this behavior be allowed to happen, actually?
Well, that's the interesting part. You see, with our city government, we do not have an elected mayor, so we've got our city council, whom we do elect, all seven members of that. They appoint a mayor. This time through, it happens to be Mike Tracy, is our mayor. But they are responsible for oversight of the city operations. Day-to-day, who runs the city is the city manager. And the city manager has an assistant city manager, he has a CFO, he's got an attorney, you know, all of the normal functions that you would expect a city to have. And he manages their day-to-day operations. The city council doesn't have to get into day-to-day decisions, but they do have to oversee what's being done. A couple of years ago, and I believe the year was 2008, it was decided to change our accounting, how we show the money that the city has and the money that the city spends in order to make things easier for the public to understand. In other words, we departed from a traditional reporting system of balance sheets and income statements, and we went to something that was a little bit easier to understand. We went away from generally accepted accounting principles to something different, and in so doing, actually helped to make the picture muddier. It was harder to understand what was going on in City Hall. Instead of becoming more transparent, we actually became more obscure.
Can I say then, in essence, the city was gambling with public safety, that perhaps no catastrophic event like La Conchita or a wildfire would occur?
I don't want to be inflammatory. That might be considered a little bit inflammatory, but the essence of what you're saying is true. We were betting that in the future things are going to get better, that more money would come in, we'd be able to replenish our funds, that we wouldn't have to deal with this going forward. And that, I wouldn't consider it necessarily gambling, but you do have to ask yourself, was this a prudent move under any circumstances? This is a city, Ventura, that self-insures. In other words, they have insurance policies for things that happen. Once that amount goes over, I think it's $1 million, then the insurance policy kicks in. But up to $1 million, the city of Ventura actually pays for it. Now, day to day, you don't have that many problems, liabilities that cost you $1 million. But in a worst case scenario, let us say that you had 10 separate incidents, each worth $1 million. That's $10 million. So we wanted to have an emergency fund, a contingency fund of $12 million to really protect ourselves against that. And what we're doing is we're taking from that fund and using it for day-to-day operations. And had there been a catastrophic emergency or a series of catastrophic emergencies, we would have had to take money away from general operations in order to pay for them.
Wow. And second, it seems like Ventura was the only city in the county unable to comply with California's requirement to disclose compensation required by the Pension Reform Act. Is that also true?
That is true. We took a pass, as I said earlier, when our computer systems were unable to produce the reports that the state of California now requires by law.
Holy smokes, my goodness. Tell us a little bit about some of our city council members and how long they've been on the staff and some of the other things that will play into this and what might happen next.
Wow. Well, there are several questions in there. So
yes.
Let's start with the tenure of people on the city council,
okay,
because I think that has some relevance to what we're doing.
And why?
Well, I'll come to the why in just a minute. But
okay. Just
to call the people out by name, Jim Monahan has been on the council since 1997. Brian Brennan since 2001. Neil Andrews since 2001. Christy Weir since 2003. Mike Tracy has come on board. He was formerly the police chief, then became a member of the city council and subsequently the mayor in 2009. And our newest member is Cheryl Heitman, who joined in 2011. The point of the story is this, that several people, Monahan, Morehouse, Brennan, and Andrews and Weir, have all been on the city council while these changes were made. They were the oversight of things that were happening. Mike Tracy did join the city council during this period, but as the new guy, really was just absorbing and I'm sure learning those sorts of things in 2008, and he came on board in 2009 onto the council. So, and Cheryl Heitman has been on the council just over a year, so she was unaware of the history behind that. These are the people that we elect to oversee the staff of the city. The city manager, the city attorney, the city CFO, who do the day-to-day operations. And these were the ones that were, if you will, misled by the staff. And I think it's really important. Mike Tracy's comment is important for two reasons. First, I believe that it was very courageous for him and for Johnny Johnson, who is the interim city manager, to come forward with this information.
I agree.
I mean, let's face it. This has been unknown since 2008. It could just as easily have gone unknown if the city manager or the council decided not to bring this to light. So in light of that, it was a very courageous thing to do. But his comment about, based on the way I look at this information, we have probably been deceiving ourselves and therefore the general public. My question is, we've elected these people. I didn't elect the city manager. I didn't elect the city CFO, but I did elect the council to oversee what's going on. And if they were deceived, herein lies the problem. Were they deceived because they chose to be deceived, or were they deceived by city staff who chose to deceive them? In either case, the question has to be asked, what went on? Let's investigate this. How did it happen? And more importantly, how do we prevent it from happening again? And I'm not looking for culpability here. I'm not saying let's go out and find a person and hang them in effigy and all that kind of thing. I'm not looking for that. But I am looking for answers, and I think the citizens of Ventura probably are owed answers.
Deserve answers. Plus, we have Mark Watkins, our brand new incoming city manager. He's coming into this thing pretty much blind as of, what, not even 6 to 8 weeks ago. He's brand new.
He's brand spanking new, and his first challenge will be by mandate to get out the budget for next year. This is where it all comes together, because he's now responsible for the budget that is going to pay back, if you will, that $7.7 million that we need to pay back. If he's prudent, and I'm sure that he is, because I've heard nothing but good things about Mr. Watkins, but this problem was years in the making, and you can't undo the problem overnight. So next year's budget can't undo 5-6 years worth of malfeasance, but it has to be done over a period of time, and something is going to have to give. We can't continue to do what we've been doing and expect different results. So it's very likely one of two scenarios. We either have to raise more revenue or cut expenses. And the only two ways that a city can raise revenue is if they raise taxes or if the economy turns around and gets better for them. Now, the economy turning around, the city council has absolutely no control over that whatsoever, sadly, but they don't. So that's out of their control. And raising taxes, thanks to Proposition 13, the city council actually doesn't have any control over either. They have to go to the citizens and ask them for a tax increase, ask the citizens for more money.
Is that because Prop 13 prohibits that?
It prohibits them from raising new taxes. That is correct. Mm-hmm. So the likelihood of the city council going to the people and actually getting them to pay more in taxes historically has been very, very low. So for all intents and purposes, that's another thing they can't pursue. So they can't raise revenue. Their only choice is to lower expenses.
Well, it's also unlikely because Prop 30 that was just voted in increased taxes statewide. So swallowing that pill again will be hard.
Well,
and
I would say unlikely, bordering on impossible.
Yeah.
Exactly correct. So that's out of their control. What do? We've got to cut expenses. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, what are the expenses we'd cut?
Well, you have to take a look at the biggest single line items are going to be public safety, fire, and police.
My gosh.
I mean, salaries are the biggest component of that, and those are the men and the women.
And pensions.
Those are the men and the women that go out there and really put their necks on the line for us on a day-to-day basis in order to save property and lives. So, do you want to cut from that? Or it could be something as mundane as lighting. And lighting doesn't sound like a lot unless you're driving down a dark street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lynn, you said you grew up in Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara has a lot of dark streets. There are no street lights there.
Still.
Yeah, even to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's budgetary. Maybe that's aesthetic. I'm not sure. But we have street lights. Do we dim those street lights? Or do we dim the lights that light up the courthouse every single night? You know, we've got those giant floodlights burning electricity to keep the courthouse lit at night. Do we just stop doing that? Those kinds of remedies, the lights and that, probably aren't going to get us all the way to where we need for $7.7 million, but they are things that we need to think about.
And I suppose we could stop road repair to some degree, which would be a drag, and staff layoffs are probably in order.
It's hard to say what the council and what the staff are going to agree to. Staff will probably propose a budget that has minimal staff layoffs. Gee, what a surprise there. The staff preparing a budget for staff layoffs, that sort of sounds like an oxymoron. But in reality, that has to be one of the areas that is considered, because staff expense is one of the biggest line items that are there. And if we're going to get back to $7.7 million, there's not going to be an easy way to do that. There's going to be pain, and it's going to be felt. More importantly, people who are listening to the sound of our voice may go, well, you know, so somebody down at City Hall loses their job. What does that matter to me? Here's how it matters. If somebody at City Hall loses their job, then when you go to get something done at City Hall, whether it's a building permit or it's some other type of permit that City Hall is in charge of, that person may not be there to grant you that. Mm-hmm. And the waiting period may get longer in order for you to get your permits. So it has its effect on your day-to-day life once staff gets cut. It's not just taking an axe to the budget and just randomly lopping things off. But it does have to be prudent, well thought out. I'm afraid, though, it's going to be extreme.
Well, all these things do. Public safety directly affects us, even city lights and being in a dark alley. Road repair wrecks your car. So all these cutbacks would directly affect you. So, listeners, here's what you need to do. And then we're going to tie this into something very, very interesting that Billy the Brain brought up. It has to do with international news in Cyprus. How is this related to Cyprus? Well, keep listening to KBTA 1590, because I'm going to tell you first, before we get to Cyprus, what the listeners need to do. You watch for stories about city budgeting. Contact the Ventura City Council. Express your opinion. Attend the city council meetings. They're actually pretty interesting. Vote in November when Jim Monahan, Brennan, and Andrews run for re-election. For listeners outside of Ventura, Fillmore and Oxnard, they've had budgetary problems too. Look to those cities. You see what's happening there. It could happen to your own city. 30 cities in California on Moody's watch list. 6 are already bankrupt. Yikes. So I think this is brilliant, the way you've tied this into Cyprus, Bill Frank. It's amazing. So tell us, how does this relate to such a huge piece of international news?
Well, both news articles or both news stories tie into the finances. One's the finances of the city of Ventura, the other's finances for the country of Cyprus. For those of you who don't know, Cyprus is a small island nation south of Turkey, north of Egypt, and off the shores of Israel and Syria. In the Mediterranean, it is also a member of the European Union, part of the Eurozone. So they have banded in with other European countries like France and Germany in order to have a common currency, and it ties all of those countries together. They are in some sort of loose monetary relationship that they have. The problem is with Europe, as it is a problem with many cities in California, including Ventura, is that the profligate politicians are spending way too much money, and now their countries are in jeopardy of becoming insolvent. Cyprus is only the latest to be in this situation. Their three main banks are on the verge of being insolvent and need to be bailed out by the richer countries in the European Union, most notably Germany. So Germany is the big dog in this whole picture and probably the most fiscally conservative of the countries as well. So Cyprus is this little island nation. Its banks are failing. It's looking to the European Central Bank in order to get money, in order to get money that they can continue to exist. The problem is Germany doesn't want the ECB to loan them money. Germany's coming up for re-elections. Prime Minister Angela Merkel is up for re-election this year, and her people do not want to loan these southern European countries the money. So what to do? Well, the Cypriots came up with an interesting but very disturbing idea, and that is everybody who has a bank account, we are going to have you taxed 7% on the money that you have in your bank account, and that's under 100,000 euros. If it's more than 100,000 euros, then we're going to tax you at a rate of 22 to 25%. Now, there's some method to that number because Cyprus is known as a money laundering country. A lot of Russian oligarchs are laundering money through Cyprus banks, and so therefore if you tax them at 25%, really what you're doing is you're taxing illegal laundered money. That's the way they look at it.
And that's how they got that dividing line between under 100 euro and over 100 euro. They figured they'd hit the foreign investors. But isn't this considered an unprecedented violation of property rights? Because the way they did it, they froze everybody's account. You go to the ATM, say, tomorrow morning, you cannot get a single dime out of your bank because the bank unilaterally decides just to freeze everybody's account. And, oh, yeah, P.S., you're going to be taxed by the time you go and pull it back out if you can pull it back out.
That's pretty well. That summarizes it.
That's an unprecedented violation of property rights. Well, absolutely scary.
Here in the United States, we can't even fathom it. I mean, our Constitution should protect us against that. However, these countries that are in dire straits, and it's not just Cyprus. Cyprus is a very small country, 0.2% of the European Union in terms of its GDP. But Italy is on the line, Spain is on the line, Portugal is on the line, and of course we all know about Greece. Are there over there, you wonder if the leaders of those countries are looking at what's happening in Cyprus and going,
sure. Oh my gosh, they are.
This is a pretty good little plan, and all of a sudden other European countries are going to start to see their taxes, their bank deposits being taxed at a rate to help pay for the country. That is known in economic terms as a bail-in, as opposed to
a
bank coming to you and giving you the money and bailing you out. That's correct.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, Russia's got a equally big dog in the game, kind of a pit bull, actually, because it is much of it laundered. I think we can allege that. It is coming in and saying in exchange for oil rights offshore Cyprus. So they now are going to say, okay, we'll bail you out if you give us your oil.
Well, the rights to the oil off of Cyprus, that was the plan, that was the intent, that Russia was going to do the bailout. It was announced in the newspaper today that Russia will not do that. So it's back to, does everybody who has a bank account get a haircut in order that we can get money from the European Central Bank?
Or just completely withdraw from the Eurozone? I guess that's a choice Cyprus has, or how does that actually
help
them?
They can drop out of the Eurozone. Everybody has the right to do that, although it's a little bit messy as to how that'll happen. Unfortunately for the Cypriots, what'll happen is very similar to what happened in Argentina in the 1980s. They'll drop out, their currency will go back to the Cypriot pound, and they will get devalued. And if Argentina is any example, it will be devalued about 75%.
And what does that do to the U.S. dollar?
It actually strengthens the U.S. dollar. So if you're a dollar hawk, this is a good thing for the U.S. dollar. But that's not the goal here. I mean, we're looking at how do you prevent the European Union from breaking up, or does it make sense for Cyprus to pull out? And if Cyprus pulls out, how many other EU nations will follow suit and drop out? Will Greece be the next to follow, followed by Italy, Spain, and Portugal? It all remains to be seen. So there's a lot of international intrigue because the Cypriot banks mismanaged their money.
And it seems like that's happened here in our own little county, Ventura, in our city of Ventura, where our mayor has fessed up. He actually came out and said it, and we are going to take care of the problem. Now, where can our listeners go to find out more information? Well, one place is your website, and what is that?
Well, they can come to my website, which is brainstorminonline.com. That's brainstormin, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. That's where I keep all of my old interviews, so people can go there to hear guests that I have interviewed in the past.
That's excellent. Also, I watch the Euro News on the internet every single day, every morning. It's really easy, euronews.com, or you can just pull it off the internet if you have internet on your TV. Very, very easy to get with a Blu-ray. Thank you very, very much, Billy. I think I'll have you back from time to time, and we ought to get our new city manager in with you, probably, Mike Watkins, and see if we can't do a little update on this very topic very soon.
Well, I'd love it. I'd be honored. Thanks,
really, Lynn. Appreciate you coming on. Lynn Fairley and Fabulous Friend Shows.